Hey, welcome to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Great to have you along. Hey, it's great to be back on Thursday night because we've been kind of bouncing around with other games going on. And Thursday night Sports Look brought to you by Exchange Bank, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Hamada Wealth Management. The upcoming sports broadcast schedule is absolutely a whirlwind of games. And tomorrow night, we're going to be in Winchester, Kansas. It'll be Jefferson County North and Pleasant Ridge. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens at home in the Nolan, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock for the ladies and guys as Benedictine hosts Baker. Next Tuesday, we'll have Pleasant Ridge again. This time, they're going to be at home and hosting a good Valley Falls team. So there'll be Valley Falls at Ridge next Tuesday. And then next Wednesday, Benedictine will be at home with Missouri Valley. We're going to be talking about Raven basketball and how the season's moving very quickly. We're also going to be talking to Coach Moody here during the course of the show and kind of getting his feelings about how things are and where they stand. And that said, Gus, wow, lots of games going on around the care listing area, and high school basketball has been a very, very hot topic as we really are rapidly approaching sub-states.
Yeah, you know, kind of working our way down to the end of the season, only a handful of games left. All right, well, we're down to the last three college games, I believe, and, you know, push that back a little further. I mean, you look at, like, the last 2.5 weeks or so of high school basketball, sub-states and state tournaments will be here before you know it. So, I mean, yeah, we're winding down to the end. There were a handful of games around the area played on Tuesday night, and just to kind of recap some of that, ACCHS ladies held off Valley Falls 49-41, JCN ladies beating Horton 57-31. It was Nemaha Central over Sabetha. You had Jackson Heights 36-21 in the girls game, so Jackson Heights a 15-point winner. And what was a low-scoring game there? It was Morehill Mount Academy coming out with a 6-point win over McClouth on the ladies' side. On the guys, the ACCHS boys fell to Valley Falls 68-52. It was the Horton boys over JCN 33-21. Pleasant Ridge knocks off Jackson Heights 55-37. MHMA holds off McClouth 38-34. You had what was a thrilling game up at the Atchison High Gymnasium on Tuesday night.
Boy, that thing was fantastic, wasn't it? This Atchison High was at home with Kansas City, Washington, and the Wildcats. They were great. This thing came right down to the wire. And Atchison had two shots, Gus, in the last 14 seconds of the game. They decided, and this is a technical question. We talked about this. You're down by two. You got 14 seconds left. How do you go about it? Do you look to tie the game and go to an overtime? Or do you look to go for three and win the game? Atchison's decision, go for the three. They got a good look at it. It kicked off. And then a huge offensive rebound. So you got another shot at it. And it kicked off also, and they end up dropping the game by 2 points. It was a crowd thriller, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you always laugh at situations like that. You know, whether it's the end of the game situation where you're going to shoot a three, you're going to go for the tie, you're going to go for the win, or even flip the script. If you're on defense at the end of the game, do you foul up three? Some coaches do, some coaches don't. Some coaches are just dead set that whatever the situation is, here's how I handle it. Some coaches are, well, let's just see how the game, you know, rolls and comes along, and then we'll figure it out from there. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're the hero or the goat, right?
Yeah, and it was a tough one for Atchison, but, you know, they played very well, nice crowd, and they enjoyed a tremendous, tremendous game. It's always good to watch, fun to watch close competitive games, even though sometimes a little disappointing if it's not your team that wins.
How many of those have you had, though, lately? You've had a bunch of those lately.
Good finishes.
And you've had some games where, you know, I feel like over the last 2 weeks, how many times have you seen a team trail, win it at the end?
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, so that makes it fun this time of the year, shakes up a lot of things. And speaking of shaking up things, looking at the standings in the Northeast Kansas League on the girls' side, there hasn't been much shakeup at all this season, right? Jackson Heights out on top. They're undefeated in the league at 11-0. They're 14-1 overall. ACCHS right behind them. They are 11-1 in conference play. They are 13-3 overall. draw the line, right? I mean, like, it's those two for the conference title just because you don't have enough games left for anybody else to make up room. JCN having a good season, coming in third right now at 7-5 overall, 10-6, already a double-digit win team. Valley Falls 6-6, Pleasant Ridge and Moorhill Mount Academy at 5-7, 4-8 finds Horton, 3-8 is McLeod, then Oskaloosa at 0-10, and yeah, I mean, you got a pretty good bell curve there.
Yeah, now, this is high school basketball is a little different than the college game where you say it's the 20 is your magic number if you're going to get into the tournament. 10, 8, 15, it's completely irrelevant. It's how you're playing in the last 2 weeks of the season that make all the difference, because even the very, very, very best team loses and stumbles one night in a sub-state first-round game somewhere, it's over. It's done.
How many times do we do that? How many times do we look at a bracket and say, the one fell there, the one fell there, the one fell there? I mean, like, you see a lot of eights over ones, not only in sub-state play, but when you get out to the state tournament, I'm going to tell you, after week one, there'll be a one that is left out somewhere, right? I mean, yeah. And that's just how that works.
And for me, that started in March of 1980 when Atchison High had what I thought was a team that was going to win the state, okay? You had Roy Birch, Tony Crittenden, you had Roger Boldridge, you had Shane Denton, and you had Willie Smith. Okay, those are the starting five for Atchison that year. Coach Chick Downing had this team. They were so good. They rolled through the season. I thought, you know, and I was pretty young into this in 1980, I thought, this is going to be a state championship team. They were just that good. They dominated people, and they were deep on the bench. First round game at sub-state, they go out to Washburn Rural and lose the game. And it was done. It was over. It was stunning and shocking. So after that was a lesson learned early on. You just don't take any of this stuff for granted, man. You've got to drive through every game right to the end.
And I would say especially high school basketball, because the college game, there are so many built-in things that help the pace of play, and they help change the game. But the high school game doesn't have any of that built in. You want to take the opening tip, walk into the forecourt, and hold the ball for the rest of the game? Like, you can hold it for the rest of the quarter, right? Like, I mean, you can do a lot of things in high school basketball to really change somebody's game plan. And so, yeah, I think that's what, you know, makes high school basketball fun.
And if you think that there's going to be shot clock anytime soon in the high school game, you're badly mistaken. That
no, but you can always dream, but it will never happen. Good. Okay, you don't say never, but it is not in the foreseeable future.
No. Hey, how about the boys' side of this NEKL? What do you think?
Yeah, how about the Valley Falls boys? 12-0 in the league, 16-0 overall.
Now, you talk about Valley Falls, they've had a scare or two as the season has gone along, particularly with Horton. How about Horton? They were at Valley Falls last Friday, almost won that game, ended up Valley Falls winning at 59-54 right at the very end. I mean, that goes to show you, take nothing for granted ever here.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about that game was just three nights earlier, Valley Falls had scored 82 points. Knocking off Oskaloosa, yeah. You know, just a couple nights before that. But, you know, they've had a few close games. You go back to the Perry LeCompton game back in, you know, late January where they were able to pull that one off 65-62.
But now
you're jumping up a classification. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you've had some games where, you know, maybe a little closer than they wanted. You go back to December, they beat Pleasant Ridge by 7. So they have had some close games, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to jump into sub-state play, and that's a rough sub-state.
No question about it. Now, before we get to that, let's finish this conference up, and we talked about how Horton played Valley Falls really, really well. Well, what has happened to the Horton team? Have they, like, you know, found a magic elixir, or, you know, are the planets aligned over USD 430 South Brown County? What's going on up there? Because they bump off Jefferson County North the other night.
You know, sometimes it just takes that one game where you play really close and you just can't quite get over the hump. But coach comes in and says, hey, you realize how close we were to that game and like we could get them? The next night, those guys all of a sudden go out, you know, two nights later, and then they knock off JCN. Now all of a sudden you're feeling a little better about yourself and you're like, all right, we get back to sub-state. Maybe we can beat Valley Falls. Maybe we clean up just those couple little things. And, you know, Horton is one of those teams who we always talk about play well at the right time, and right now they seem to be, you know, kind of hitting their stride and figuring some things out as the season has progressed.
Not sure I want to see them if they're coming up on the schedule right now. You know, as a, they keep JCN, a team that flies up and down the court, they keep them to 5 points a quarter. They give up 21 points? That's just incredibly strong defense, and so good for them.
Yeah, and you look at, what, JCN at 10-2, Pleasant Ridge. Right there at 10-2.
And
that
again,
makes a good matchup Friday night, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have that game Friday night and the Pleasant Ridge and Valley Falls game on that next Tuesday. So we've got some fantastic games with tremendous implications coming up here on Care Radio the next week.
You got the Moorhill Mount Academy guys coming in at 6-6, Jackson Heights at 5-6, ACCHS at 5-7 in league play, Horton 3-9, Oskaloosa 1-9, and McLouth still looking for that first win this season.
That first win can be elusive. Once you get to a point, you know, it just gets really, really, really hard to find that thing.
You know, that's kind of that snowball effect after a while. So,
yes. So there you have it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We got tons more to talk about. Sport Look continues here on Care Radio right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Happy to have you with us as we shift our sights from high school to college basketball. We're going to talk to Coach Moody coming up here in the next segment, but Gus, last night, Benedictine, taking it on the road and went down to Mid-America. These are two games that were like carbon copies of each other. They got behind early. Both teams trailed. The men and women's team both trailed by 8 in the first half. They both battled back. They were, the guys' team, you know, was up a point at halftime. The girls' team was tied with Mid-America at halftime, but in the second half, Pioneers get hot. They, in the guys' game, they shoot like 60-some percent from the floor and are able to come away with a slim, hard-fought win in both games.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the, starting with the ladies' game. I mean, Mid-America is always tough to play, right? Especially when you're at Bell Family Arena. John Lewis has been one of those coaches, and we talked about it last week on Sportsbook, that if there was a coach as you get towards the end of the season and get into postseason play that you don't want to bet against, it's probably John Lewis, because he's a guy who's had a lot of success of winning conference titles. He's had a lot of success at winning postseason tournaments, and you can almost so throw in that he's got a lot of postseason success because he's got a national championship banner hanging up. So Mid-America is always a tough team to beat down there. The Lady Ravens played really well. They had some shots there at the end, just couldn't get it to fall. And, you know, when you walk away from that game, you're going to be a little frustrated because you thought you had the Pioneers, but it was almost a carbon copy of the game just a few months ago up here at the Nolan. And when it comes down to it, it means a lot when you come into, you know, kind of the postseason battle for the Lady Ravens, because they are going to fall now to 9-7 overall, or in the conference. And the problem is, now you fall behind Missouri Valley, who's 9-6, and Valley is that team I talked about before Christmas. I said, if there's a team on the ladies' side that I don't know that I want to play late in the season, it's Missouri Valley.
Okay.
What's Benedictine going to do? They're going to play Missouri Valley late in the season. And the reason I say that is, Ben Lister, he's been there, done that, right? I mean, like, he took Baker to the national championship game just a few years ago. They're starting to seem like they figure some things out. And when you come up to the postseason tournament, Lady Ravens are going to make the tournament. The only question is like, you're probably on the road for the whole thing.
The whole thing. And right now, the way it's shaping up, in the North, there's three teams in, and probably the four teams that are not going in are pretty obvious, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Clark, Grandview, Mount Mercy all go in, those Iowa teams. In the South, Central Methodist, Mid-America, Evangel all in. And frankly, Missouri Valley, Benedictine are the other two in. I think it's pretty clear who is going to be in. The question becomes, with Missouri Valley and Benedictine, who is going to go to 4-5, which means who's going to switch over to the other side, which means who goes to Central Methodist, who goes to Clark. But for the Lady Ravens, that's what it's shaking out right now. Once they're either going to Central Methodist or Clark. There's an outside chance of going back to Mid-America.
Don't you have a preference?
Yeah, it's definitely not Clark.
I
guarantee
just saying, you don't want to jump on a bus and go all the way to Clark.
Again?
But the Lady Ravens, what, went up to Clark, right, a couple weeks ago, and that was Clark's second loss of the season. But again, you don't want to fight that animal, right? I think you want to stay away from that long bus, right? I don't think you want to play Clark again because I think they're gunning for you. I think, really, the easier road is right through Central Methodist. I get it, they've had a handful of these games that were canceled due to COVID, but they've also lost some games.
And so the Lady Ravens played them just last week, and really well. I mean, that thing was a nail-biter down to the very end, and Benedictine has proven they can absolutely... I like the matchup. I can play with this team, you know? And they did it without Kyra in the lineup, who was not back yet again last night. And so, you know, if you can add her height in the middle and come up against that 6'5" center that they've got, it makes a big, big diff.
Yeah, and here's the thing. For the Lady Ravens, it's a much easier path through the last three games than the guys' side, right? For the Lady Ravens, they're going to play Valley, they're going to play Baker at 3-13, and they're going to play Park at 2-14. You can chalk two more wins up for sure.
For sure.
Right? I mean, so let's put that up there. Now, I get it. A blip on the radar could happen, like the Graceland game, but I just don't see that happening. So that puts you up to 11-7. So either you could be 12-7, 11-8. I mean, I just think that for the Lady Ravens, they're going to be in. They are going to be on the road. I just don't see them probably catching Evangel because you look at the end of the Evangel schedule, and it's really not that daunting.
You look over now quickly to the guys' side and how this conference is shaking out. In the North, William Penn running away with it. I mean, let's be honest, they're the best team maybe in the nation. Mount Mercy.
The national pollsters think so, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're there. And they should be. Mount Mercy's 9-7. Grandview's 9-7. They're probably the three in right there. You go to the south side and you see Evangel. How'd that ever happen? 11-5. Central Methodist to Mid-America 9-7. Benedictine Park 8-8. But there's some wiggle room there because there's a couple of teams that's with seven wins. And that includes Baker, who you're playing. And that includes, you know, you're playing that 8-8 Park team. You know, Missouri Valley is a team that you just got to beat.
Yeah.
Got to beat them.
But you went to Marshall earlier this year and lost to Missouri Valley.
Oh, yeah.
You went to Baker earlier this season and lost to
in
Baker.
Overtime. Yep.
In Park, you were able to beat them, but I'm telling you, Park is a super athletic team, right? And really well coached. Jason Klein's been there, you know, what, 20, 21 years, give or take. And he's a great coach. So, I mean, you talk about the guys' side, it's going to be a tough road straight ahead. And Evangel is in the driver's seat, okay? You are up two games with three to go. That's a nice place to be if you're the Valor.
Yeah, no question about it. They're probably, you know, and 18-7 and Central Methodist 18-9, those are very respectable. We talk about the 20 mark, their magic 20. They're in good shape to get to them.
Yep. So, I mean, you look up and down this thing. BC's right on the edge, right? Like, you just can't lose coming out because you lose to Baker, and if you lose to Park, you got a shot of missing the tournament. So, again, you win, you're in, and I think that's what Coach Moody preaches to his team. It's moving month. We can only take care of what we can take care of and not what other teams do. You take care of the next three games, you're going to be okay.
Well, that said, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, have a visit with Coach Moody. Stick around. That'll be great fun. And then Sports Hook continues with Rapid Fire. Back with more after this. Joined by Ryan Moody, head coach of the Benedictine men's basketball team. And first of all, Coach, I'm starting off with, you're always so good about coming up post-games last night, but I got away a little early because at Mid-America, last game of the year, the players come out and give a testimony to the crowd. It's kind of I feel like a churchy atmosphere, and I just felt like maybe we would do this today. So my apologies, for I was the one who was not there in time last night.
No, it's okay. I know that I've bailed on you at least once this year and been not on time, so we're even. But yeah, the tradition down at Mid-America is for their seniors to talk, you know, on the microphone at center court and kind of talk about, like you said, their journey there. And you know, everybody's got their different traditions. We do things a little bit differently here, but it would have been a weird environment to be sitting there and us talking. I think we've done it before, actually, where it was kind of weird, where we were trying to have that conversation while the guys were talking. So I think we made the right call, and we're also maybe a good decision. I'm a 12 to 15, maybe a little bit more hours after the fact, and can give a little bit better take of what happened last night.
Well, your guys started off and gosh, doing so well, and took a point lead, going into halftime, and everything felt good. And then second half, I don't know if it was something Rocky did, something you did, something in the alignment of the planets, but the second half was different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily anything anybody did as much as because they changed their ball screen coverage a little bit, but gosh, we run so many of them, and our guys are so experienced that, nothing to that kind of small degree really makes an impact on us. I mean, it's kind of the same old story, to be honest with you, Tom. I mean, and I love this group. I love how they fight. I'm not coming up with excuses, but we have injuries beyond what anybody can possibly imagine at this point, with our top guys, and we're just not performing on offense. I mean, they're guarding really hard. I thought the biggest thing that, we did incorrect in that game as a team was our transition defense at times. Mid-America was really dialed into going down the middle of the floor with the pass over the top, and we gave up on the stat sheet, almost 13, 15 points in transition, fast break points. And you can't do that to that team. You have to make them score, in the half court. And then the other really big key we had was no easy twos. And we gave up, I think three kind of, dump down, we call dunks, to their five man, where we were over helping and nobody slid down. I think in my opinion, our team looked fatigued. Eric Cruz goes 1 for 6 from three. We look tired. He's got an injury that we haven't really shared with anybody. He's had it the entire year. He's just not himself. Jaden Bristol, is giving us everything he's got, but he's essentially playing on one leg right now. So, I know it comes across as an excuse. I don't mean it that way, but in this game, when we've got some of your best players injured, you always save next man up. But that's a little easier said than done. And they went on a little run there in the second half when we had a couple of different lineups in there. And I thought our guys did a good job of kind of circling the wagons about the 9-minute mark. We were down 12, I think. We ended up cutting it to 4, but we just couldn't get over the hump. And we just can't. I mean, every single open shot that was available down that stretch run just didn't go in. Tough. When you're not scoring, it's tough. 63 points in college basketball just isn't enough.
And you've got, the season grows so short. It feels like a minute ago we were looking and there were 20 games ahead of us and it was a long road ahead. And now we're down to, three? And it is remarkably, remarkably quick to the end here.
Yeah, and things have sped up, too, with just what people are used to. People are used to us ending at the end of February, but with the new expanded field of 64 in the national tournament, there's an opening round weekend that is before the teams go to Kansas City now. So, the whole season has kind of backed up about, almost 2 weeks. So everybody in the country has to be done with their league tournament by like March 1st. So everybody's got to end quickly. And we have three games left, thankfully two in a row here at home. Our guys are still fighting. We're sitting at 14-11. We're sitting at 8-8 in the league, and there's just such a logjam right now in the heart with teams, in that 8-8, 9-7, and I mean, we've just beaten up on each other over and over in the league this year. And I think that our guys are in a good place mentally. Saturday's a senior day for us. We have seven seniors, four that are actually in their senior year, and then three that are in their COVID year. So they actually, had a senior year last year as well, but I'm looking forward to seeing them come out on Saturday against Baker and hopefully have a great crowd and have their families here. And I know we've got some good things planned for that. So, it's grinding time. I mean, we're not out of anything. I mean, as weird as I know, I keep saying that, but just the way the league keeps beating each other up, postseason play in the heart, postseason play in the national tournament is realistically still in play. But we clearly, after losing 4 out of 5, we've got to find a way to, get healthy or dig into the tank a little bit and be able to execute on offense a little bit better.
Mathematically, you talk about where you're at, one game out of second place, and with three games to go, anything can happen. There's still even the outside shot home game. I mean, anything going to go on here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot's going to happen in the last three games. I think that everybody's just kind of in this weird spot right now as far as where their program's at. You know, the only two that are really kind of in a really good spot right now are William Penn and Evangel. They've kind of separated themselves from the pack, but, you know, in our division alone, you've got Central Methodist 9-7, Mid-American 9-7, Park at 8-8, us at 8-8, and then you got Baker right behind you at 7-9. So it's just a log jam. And then on the north, you know, it's Mount Mercy and William Penn, but everybody else is kind of right around that area too. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I actually sent an email out to our conference, you know, administration and said, we need to see the tiebreakers, you know, cause I mean, right now it's just crazy, you know, who gets in, how do people get in, but hopefully it kind of sorts itself out over the next, three games. I will say that, you know, I got a lot of faith in these guys. I mean, we're experienced. We walked into a hornet's nest last night. You know, I mean, I know, you know, you got Mid-America who's got senior night. They're fighting for their, you know, season to last just like us. And they've also, that's the last regular season home game that Rocky Lamar, who's been the head coach there for 36 years, will play as their coach. And, you know, he's emotional and, you know, before the game and after the game, and you know, you're a packed house. You know, you're trying to overcome a lot on the road in that situation. So we definitely got their best effort, and you know, like I said, I think it was a 4 to 5 minute little run there in the second half that took us out of that game. But you know, lots of good basketball in front of us. I hope our guys are not down. We've got some fighters, and especially in that older group, you know, this is their last go around together. So it's seven guys that won't play again, you know, when this season is over. So we're looking for good things down the stretch here.
And with that in mind, Saturday is your senior day up at the Nolan Gymnasium. And like you mentioned, you got a bunch of guys who are going to get a little recognition and, you know, some good opponents coming up. So I guess my question for you, besides the statement to remind everybody it's senior day to get up there for that, but so how do you and Coach Pierre help these guys navigate these last three games? What do? Do you give them time? Do you work on different things? Do you, you know, just spend time studying? How do you get them ready to for this last surge to the end of the regular season?
That's a great question. First, I'll just address the senior day. So we got the women's game at 2 and our game at 4, and then all the seniors, both men and women, will be recognized right after the girls' game. So before the men warm up. So, you know, you can anticipate that being, I don't know, anywhere from, 3:30 to 3:45, hopefully, is kind of right around that time. We will recognize all the seniors from both programs and their parents and kind of, you know, give a little, it's not too long. It's probably about 10 to 12 minutes long. And then we'll warm up and get ready to play our game. So our game probably will start just a little bit after 4 tomorrow or maybe, you know, 4:15 or something. So that's kind of the rundown for that. And then, you know, to your question about how we help them, you know, I mean, once again, I think we have to, I've been doing this long enough. I don't have all the answers, but I do think we have to trust the fact that we have some players that have played in a lot of games and have faced these opponents, you know, many times in their career that will be giving us the major minutes on Saturday. And right now, this is less about what do we work on and more about how do we as fresh as possible. You know, how are we as healthy as possible for Saturday? And how are we as fresh as possible for Saturday? And that's, you know, the science behind that is they've got to do some sort of what we call a flush workout today where they get the blood pumping and they get moving and it's non-contact where they're busting out all the soreness and the lactic acid. And then, you know, tomorrow is honestly a pretty light walkthrough. I mean, you know, we don't need to go live much in practice anymore. I mean, we're talking about we have 3 games left, so we're talking about we've played 25 games plus an exhibition. We've practiced over, you know, 60 practices at this point. And, you know, we're to the point where that doesn't really do us much good, especially with the injuries that we've sustained throughout this season. You know, it's more about just we have to trust their minds. We have to trust that they've been in a lot of situations and have experience. And I do trust them. You know, I mean, I thought we were in a really good place last night. We start that game down 10, and, you know, they come back and take the lead at half. And, you know, we just kind of ran out of gas and didn't make shots. And you can't, you know, can't fault them. They're not trying to miss. So I'm really confident our group can get themselves ready. And I think Saturday's going to be an emotional day. I mean, you got these 7 guys who have really been together for, you know, almost 5 years, most of them redshirted and or used a COVID year. And so these guys have been through a lot together, good and bad. And, and they, you know, I think Saturday could be an emotional day. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm extremely proud of the guys we have on this team and this senior class and what they've given to this program. And you know, that if you go back 4 years, you're talking about the 3 years prior to this, they won 31 games, they won 17 games, and they won 21 games, you know, all winning seasons. And right now they're in the midst of a 14-11 season, another winning season if things go right. So, you know, that's pretty successful at the college level to be able to sustain that. And, you know, I think they'll give us everything they've got in the tank to try to get one done on Saturday in front of their families and friends and fans.
A question for you, Coach. You talked about these guys have been here. They know what they're doing. They've been playing ball for years now, and they are good, and they are skilled, and you've got them kind of prepared. You know, just about is all you can do with them, and yet, isn't that one of the probably toughest things for a coach, like a parent or like anybody who you're sending that fledgling out? You're like, okay, I have done everything I can for you. Now I've just got to sit back and depend on you to do the right things and to incorporate those values and those lessons that I have taught you. And you know, and here you go. As a coach, I would think that whole letting go part has got to be the hard thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot harder. Your question's great. It's a great question. My answer is you got to do it about 30 times a year, you know, cause I mean, I don't have much control once the game starts. I mean, it might seem like it, but, you know, we might be able to call timeouts and call some sets and hope that they work and everything. But in the end, I could call out, you know, whatever play A, and if they don't execute it and do what we've taught them and do the things that they know they're supposed to do, it doesn't matter. So, you know, every time we go out there and, you know, into the arena, as the quote says, right? And we're putting our, you know, we're putting our trust in our guys. And with a team as experienced as we have, you know, I have every faith that they're good to go. I mean, there's no lack of focus. There's no lack of preparation on their part. You know, they study the scouting report. They study the film, you know, but it's just these seasons get so long and, you know, this time of year, you got to trust them. You don't have any other option. You know, I think last night in that game, I think, you know, if you watched the film close, we got great shots, and that's all you can ask. You know, it's not like we were taking making bad decisions. I think we had 13 turnovers in that game, and in a college basketball game, you know, that's actually not a terrible number. You know, they're not throwing the ball around. They did for a little stretch there, but in the end, they ended up with 13, and you know, the ball just didn't go in the hoop, and that just puts a lot of pressure on you. So, you know, I'm sorry it's a long-winded answer, but gosh, I got a lot of trust in these guys. I think they've seen a lot. They've been through close games. We've won some. We've lost some. They know how to execute down the stretch. They know each other. And, you know, win or lose, I mean, you know, I guess what I'm saying is we come off a loss. I'm not less trustful. You know, I mean, I believe in these guys. I believe in the work we've done and what we've put in place, and I believe in our culture. And I think that they're going to go out there and give us everything they got, and you know, hopefully that's good enough.
Raven fans have got three interesting opponents coming up, three teams that have been hard to play in your first meetings with them. You know, mm-hmm. Baker down there was a tough one, and Valley out there was a tough one, and then of course Park was up here. We'll go down to Parkville for that. So the final three opponents that, you know, everything is now riding on, these got to be fantastic games, and as hard as it is to prepare for them, it's got to be kind of fun to get those guys out there against them.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, I'm you know, the one thing that, you know, kind of back to your last question, the hard part is, maybe the hardest part is like enjoying it, right? As the coaching staff, you know, cause we're here to win. This is our job. You know, I mean, this is what we spend our full days on, is trying to figure out how to help this team be in the best position possible. And when you fail and that doesn't happen, you know, you hold yourself to a really high standard. I know our players hold themselves to a high standard, and so does our staff. So, you know, getting to a point where, you know, you can get over that, where you're just like, you know, here we go, guys, let's go enjoy this a little bit. Let's go have some fun. We've got three great opponents that we have great rivalries with. We've got a couple of payback games in Baker and Missouri Valley. We always know it's hard to play at Park, and the reality is our destiny is in our own hands. And so as banged up as we are, as tired as we are, whatever it may be, as mentally fried as we are, you got to go out there and go have fun and perform. And when this team's having fun and this team's playing for each other and, you know, and they're supporting each other, they're pretty darn good. And, you know, I don't want to trade them for anything, but I also am excited to see them move on into their next phase of their lives. But as long as we've got them, we're going to go out there and give it our best and compete. So I'm excited for the three we have, and I'm sure hopeful that those three lead to more. And this has been a great group to coach, and we're excited to keep continuing to do that.
Coach Moody, Raven fans are excited to see senior night Saturday, last three games, and to push you into postseason play and join you for all of those games. And we appreciate your time, man. Best of luck, and we look forward to seeing you up there in the Nolan on Saturday afternoon.
No problem, Tom. Thanks for all the coverage. And everybody, again, you know, 2 o'clock for the women, 4 o'clock for the men on against Baker on Saturday. Should be a great day. Come out and support these guys. They've put a lot of time and effort in these ladies over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years. So we'd sure like to see our fans, and go Ravens. We'll see what we can get done.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Gus, I thought the NFL season was over for a lot of people around here. It is, but there is, in fact, another game coming up on the schedule. Do you remember when they used to play the Pro Bowl after the National Championship game?
I was thinking of that this morning, and I'm like, you know how much better the Pro Bowl was before, even though it was still a terrible game? Putting it before this makes it so much better because then those players can just kind of do their own thing, and it helps fill up that week between the championship games and the national championship game. Do you have a preference here? Rams, Bengals? I mean, either one.
You know, I can see the pluses and minuses of both of them. I may watch parts of it. I'm not going to just sit down and dedicate a day, you know, and like plan my life around watching this game like I might if another team had been in there.
Right.
I might have done that. It's not going to be that big a deal. If I happen to be walking by and it happens to be on, or if I'm in the car and I flip it on and it's there, I would probably give it a listen, but not going to go really out of my way. Frankly, I can't imagine the Rams not running away with this. I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Rams probably win this thing. Their defensive line is just nasty, right? Like, the defensive line is great. The Cincinnati offensive line has been porous of late. You know, I think the Bengals can keep it close by, you know, just chucking the ball deep, but I really, in the end, think that the Rams probably cover that 3.5-point spread over under a 48.5. I don't think it's going to be that high of a scoring game. I'll be in it more for the halftime, right? Like, the halftime is where I'm at on it. And I know you probably aren't excited about these. Yeah, I was going to say, you're more about the spots. I'm about the halftime.
Yeah.
Now, there are some people in the halftime show that I'm not really familiar with, and it sounds crazy. Like, what is it? I'm going to get this wrong. I think there's, like, a Kendrick Lamar. No clue. My wife tells me. She's like, oh, you know. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more in it for Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, if they play California Love, I'm just probably going to have to turn it off because, you know, that's more of a Tupac song, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I think some of the pageantry and things are going to be fun. It's going to be in a dome. And what they were saying, like, this should be the hottest Super Bowl, I mean, as far as, you know, temperature-wise. But, like, does that really matter because you're under the glass dome? So I'm like, I don't get it. But, okay,
makes
cool,
no
good
difference
for you.
Rams are a 3.5-point favorite, a 48.5 over under, and I was reading an article that there's going to be by a huge margin the most money wagered on this game of any game, anyone ever.
Yeah, but I also think some of that is, you know, that you've expanded into multiple states as far as the gaming,
yeah,
you know, possibilities.
That.
I also think that, you know, less rooting interest probably helps to include, you know, get people into it by doing that. I also think that the NFL moving into Las Vegas is probably big for that too, right? Like, in 2 years when this national title game is played in the desert, I have a feeling that will break and shatter every record ever.
Well, we'll find out how that goes. We've also got a lot of Big 12 and NCAA basketball going on, and Kansas took one on the chin the other day. I was surprised, but
yeah.
Whenever they lose, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I think that's the problem is, as a Kansas fan, you look back and you're like, oh, man, I can't believe they actually lost. But that was a fun game to watch at the end, you know, at Texas, a lot of whole back and forth in the last couple minutes. It was fun. I think Texas storming the court was a little much, right? Like, a 20 over an 8 wasn't that big of an upset, but, you know, the kids enjoyed it. That's great.
They don't beat Kansas that often. I mean, let's be very honest.
Oklahoma's going to be – they can't even beat them in football. But Oklahoma, Oklahoma is going to be at Kansas noon on Saturday. Kansas State is going to travel up to Hilton, and they're going to take on Iowa State Saturday at 3 p.m. I think instead of the game Sunday, I'm more excited for the NFL Combine March 1st. That's just me.
There's going to be some great talent. There's going to be some interesting guys. There's going to be some teams with a lot of soul-searching to do between now and then, and self-evaluation and decide exactly what do they need to do. The question I have for you, will Tyrann Mathieu be in one Arrowhead Drive next year?
No.
Okay.
I just don't think the money is right. You don't do it. You move on and you add a better receiver.
Yeah.
That's the short answer for me. I mean, I could go really in-depth, but I think at the end of the day, I just don't think it happens.
Next question. When do we get first pitch for the MLB season? April, May, June, pick a month. Just narrow it to a month.
May.
Okay.
Right? Like mid to late May. Because here's the problem with baseball.
About the end of school?
Here's the problem with baseball. Yeah, probably. Because you can't just say, okay, March 1, we finally came to a labor agreement, let's play here in 2 weeks. It's like, well, no, now we need to have free agency because you haven't had that, right? Only a handful of big players signed before. So there are a lot of guys that are sitting around with no team. Then you have to have like 7 months of spring training or something. I've never understood some
like
of these
that.
Things with baseball, right? So I think by the time you get spring training, get pitchers all warmed up and where they need to be, like I just don't see baseball happening until, you know, mid to late May. I think there's college baseball going on, but I don't think anybody pays attention to that as much, right?
Like, baseball has begun. They played three over the weekend and won two of the three. The Lady Ravens softball team starts this weekend, so yeah, it's right here.
See? So you know that a lot better than I. But the MLB is supposedly going to talk again on Saturday. I don't think that's going anywhere.
I think they've eliminated some of the hurdles now. So I think that maybe they're working more towards that. I think that everybody realizes not playing is not good for anyone.
Yeah, I think that, you know, not playing would be terrible for baseball. Because here's the deal. Right now there's just so much more going on that you can do, right? Like watch your different programming. I mean,
and
Survivor's on, I think, right?
But Celebrity Big Brother.
There you go. Same thing to me.
But also, you've got to understand there is a new football league getting ready to gear up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be competitive. Competing against MLB.
Right. And so I think that's also another thing that's going to be tough for that. Real quick, jumping back into the NFL, how excited are you that the NFL announced yesterday, this morning, within the last 24, 36 hours, that next year there will be a regular season game played in Munich?
Yeah, you know, I just get tired of the international games. I don't care for them.
Can I tell you, everybody thinks it. I'm probably on the same boat as everybody else. I think it's Chiefs-Bucks. Because Kansas City is a Munich city as far as their, you know, overseas marketing
city.
Area. Mm-hmm. And the Buccaneers are somewhere over in Germany. I'm not really sure what their town was. I just feel like those two teams have each other on the schedule next year. It just seems like it fits. But should be interesting. Have you watched any of the Olympics?
They're on?
I just saw the highlights of, you know, the one ski ramp in the middle of the nuclear plant. Did you see that? That's awesome. Google it. It's great.
Okay. But, yeah, the answer to that is no. I feel guilty because I always enjoy Winter Olympics, and maybe I'll have to try to remember to do that.
I'm more of a Winter Olympics than a Summer Olympics guy, and I'm all about some curling, though.
Here we go. Sports schedule on Care Radio, jam-packed. Tomorrow, Jeff North at Pleasant Ridge. Saturday, Benedictine hosting Baker in the afternoon. Tuesday, Valley Falls at Ridge. And Wednesday, BC in the evening with Mo Valley. Pick your team. Go watch them. Basketball season running toward the end in a big hurry. Thanks so much to our Sportlook sponsors, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Thanks, Coach Moody, for joining us. Till next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.